Hi guys, the following podcast does have a little bit of swearing going on, so this is a bit of a content warning, but be careful, have fun, and get ready to laugh a lot, because we did, obviously. Welcome to the Gateway Podcast. We're officially on our first episode together. Yay! Ooh. How exciting. My name is Allie.
I'm Kaylin.
I'm Kelsey.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Gabby.
Yay, and that good-looking drink of water over there is going to make sure that we don't get too off track today.
Thank you, Gabby.
I don't know. Do we want to dive into our warm-up game? Because I know some of us, including myself, are more excited than others.
Yeah, let's do it.
So our warm-up game for every Gateway podcast that we're going to have, I made everyone download Time Hop app, share some really embarrassing stories from before CreeCom, because I also just want to know more about these people. So we're going to all open up our time hops together at the same time.
It's going to get real personal.
And I want to know every embarrassing Facebook status you made or tweet that you made a couple years ago. Mine are going to be really bad, and they'll probably be song lyrics. I won't lie to any of you.
That's amazing.
I got one right away. That's okay. A song lyric.
Let's do it. Josh is up first.
Oh, you guys remember Hey There Delilah? Remember that song?
Oh my god.
No.
That's a classic.
It's honestly just like, Hey There Delilah, what's it like in New York City? That was my
favorite. That was your status?
Oh, no. That hurts me.
And
so
you probably
much.
Thought that you were so like deep.
Oh, there's a couple likes on it, yeah. Honestly.
People appreciated that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Oh, love it.
Okay, ready for mine? Mm. I have two. So 3 years ago today, my friend Brody came in from Edmonton, and we all went to the bar together. And the only thing is my hair's blue in it. And I forgot that I went through that, like, phase. I had, like, all these different hair colors.
That's the phase I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
Kaylin's rocking the face. He's like, wait, what? It ends?
Kaylin's got some hot fake not hair end. Right now.
And then 6 years ago on my Facebook, I don't know if any of you have listened to Brand New before.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have this song, and the lyric is... I've seen more spine in jellyfish, which is so
damn. That is cutting. That
who is that directed to? Like a friend or a loved one?
Who are you so angry at?
Probably the loved one.
Allie was having a very emotional day.
Yeah,
I hit the emo phase really late. All of you were finished it, and I was just Allie's
like, I was like 11 when like Sum 41 was my favorite band, and I was just like, I would go hard.
See,
on
I
that
reached
kind of
it
stuff.
Late. I was like, I have a lot of feelings, but I was like 20.
See, I feel like mine was even worse though, because mine was like age 13, and that's when you're at like your worst.
But that's the best time to have it, because full in, like,
but
you
like,
are fully dedicated. To...
I always
like
say
the
that
skunk like hair print.
Yeah. I always say that I feel like we're at our worst versions of ourselves in junior high, because like kind of learning how to be bitchy, but like not always aware of when you are.
Yeah.
If current me met 13-year-old me, I would punch myself in the face.
And see, I went to a middle school and a high school in a country town, so everything came way later. So, right. Like, this is a girl style. Do you remember the sweaters that were, like, half a sweater? It, like, stopped at your, like, torso?
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
See, I don't.
See, you know why you don't remember it? Because it happened to all of your schools when you were like eight.
We weren't even in middle school yet. It happened to her in high school.
And it hit Springfield like 8 years later.
Oh my
God. It was so brutal. Okay, anyway, Kaylin, what's next?
Mine is super boring. I'm really disappointed. It's just a photo of me and my friend skiing. That's all it is.
Cool.
From 2 years ago.
Woo!
And that's from Instagram.
I mean, it's proof that you go skiing.
It's proof
which
that
I didn't know about you.
I'm an active person and I love to ski. I'm an athlete. I'm a superstar athlete.
Yes.
But that's it. I don't have anything embarrassed.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I don't know how I'm gonna follow that. Oh, mine's kind of disappointing too.
Damn it.
Guys, come right. on! I dished out the blue hair and an emo look.
Yeah,
I had the plain white tees over here.
Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm eventually going to put you all to shame. But for now, all I have is a photo of my father. Looks like he's squatting over a stool. Oh, my cat! My cat is under the stool. He's creeping on my cat, sitting underneath him.
He's squatting over the cat.
Cute. He's just squatting on a cat.
So that's,
nice angle, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Flattering.
Is that from Facebook, Instagram?
That is Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah.
Facebook has all the good ones. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gab, don't pretend like you can get out of this. She's sitting in the switchboard room, but like, nice try.
My my time hop wasn't working, so I just went to On This Day on Facebook, and I've got like watch the first season of Orange Is the New Black in one day, best show ever. Don't want to wait till June for the second season. It's like 4 years ago.
But my favorite,
Gab, me and you just had a conversation about Orange Is the New Black, and you were like, I've done that every single season.
Oh, yeah. Like, every I wait because they come out at, like, 2 or 3 a.m.
And that was, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that was back then. And usually, like, Kate, don't judge me, but McDonald's coupons usually come out around that time.
That was the second part of that. Because you're like, yeah, I take one break.
I usually take one break halfway through for McDonald's. I get that toucan dine for myself.
Oh,
because,
absolutely.
Because, I mean, like, yeah, why not? And it's only like $7 and you get
that Big Mac.
Yeah.
You're treating yourself. You're just indulging.
No, absolutely. Not the Big Mac. I get the breakfast.
Oh, because it's like, because it's like 4 a.m.
Because it's, no, by the time I get there, it's like 10 or 11 and all day breakfast now, so it doesn't really matter.
Gabby's got her stuff worked out.
I just want to be more like Gabby.
Yeah, me too. Like,
just alone forever.
I want to be more like Gabby.
Love that.
I also have just me watching shows by myself is all that I have. So I watch Glee. That was one of mine.
Oh, I went through Glee.
Did you stick with Glee to the end?
I did, but it took me a while to watch the last season.
I didn't stick through Glee.
Season 4 was really depressing. Just because
isn't that when he
Corey
died?
Monty.
It's a show called Glee.
Glee can be complicated.
Are they even allowed negative emotions in that show?
I think that's why they canceled it.
Yeah, probably.
Literally, the
they're
whole
like,
thing
yeah,
was
this
depressing.
Glee is
critics were
a little
like,
too
this
dark.
Show is contradictory.
They were like, the main character died. I feel like we can't keep calling it Glee. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I followed suit, and I also went on Facebook and found a memory from 6 years ago, and it's a super hazy, very drunk photo of me. So that's actually more realistic.
There you go.
So what
see, this is what I was kind of expecting.
Oh, the flash is on.
This is what
flash
I came here for. Oh, wow.
Whoever's holding the camera was clearly even drunker than I was.
Ooh, wait. I have a better one, too. This 6 years ago thing on Facebook is amazing. It's a picture of me in the band room from my junior high, and I'm wearing, like, a pink boa.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Right?
And I'm just sitting in the corner of
see,
the
that,
room.
That is more you.
Are you,
as
playing,
well.
Are you playing an instrument in the band room in that boa?
I'm not. I'm just sitting on the floor. I don't know what I'm looking at. And yeah.
All right.
I'm shook in such a good way.
I also have an out of context Facebook post that says Dad wants a bat cave, and I don't know. Is that going to be like my dad writes a porno, except my dad...
Oh my God, can we do?
My dad wants
a
bat cave. My dad makes a bat cave.
We just follow your dad around.
Let's
while
go
he
through the architectural plans of building a bat cave.
My dad gets approved for a bat cave.
I mean, I'm into that.
Okay, so... Oh, Gab, we have to decide who has the best time hop. I'm going to let you vote and pick.
Ooh,
so
who has the best time?
Who has the best throwback today?
I mean, those Plain White Tees lyrics.
I think it's probably Josh.
Yeah, those Plain White Tees lyrics.
All right. I think it's you.
Yay. Josh, you win nothing.
It was honestly, I think it was because like my crush in grade like 7 or 8, her favorite song was that.
That was every girl's favorite song.
Yeah,
around
so
that time,
you know
so.
You have to generalize. There's a lot of fish in sea. Throw a big.
You
could have
been
that's
reaching
way,
a lot of people with
that.
Yeah.
And if you throw really general lyrics in there, then there was no girl who was like, "His status is about me."
Oh, it's what you do to me.
Always.
Amazing.
Great. Message me on MSN.
Sign back in.
On MSN.
Sign back in when your crush signs in so they see you.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
just put the first initial of their name and a heart.
And a heart. Yeah.
I was going to say, back in the day, that's when it was like official, was when you put their name and a heart on MSN. Mm. You were not officially dating until you did that.
That was true love.
Yeah.
Oh. I wish people would do that for me now.
I know. It's been so long.
I do. You just haven't checked.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it. Stop. I wouldn't even get my boyfriend to like tell people that we're together, so like it's fine. Okay, we are getting way off topic, and that's okay. So, did we pick a name for this episode? Have we decided on what we're technically calling this game of ours? No.
Well, we both love My Favorite Murder, so we could just call it My Favorite Painting.
My Favorite Painting. But it's not, it sounds not, that makes it sound kind of lame.
That's true.
My favorite painting, but fun.
Can How about we myself in a painting?
No, that I don't want any part of that. Okay, we're gonna call it my favorite painting. Because because
it is lame.
We're gonna argue about this later.
Yeah,
it's fine. So we all had to our homework on top of everything else that we're doing is we had to go find a interesting painting and kind of a little bit of history behind it. And then I think we're gonna try vote on which one has the best backstory. Mm-hmm. Was the end of this that was the point of today. So does anyone want to go first, or do we have to rock paper scissors over it? Because I'm not afraid to fight you all.
I'll let you have it.
I don't want it.
I mean, Kaylin's got his all prepared.
His is printed. He printed it out.
I did my homework.
Okay,
amazing.
Okay, fine, I'll go first. This painting doesn't exactly have an interesting backstory in and of itself, but the artist is really interesting. Cool. So that's why I picked it.
Sweet.
Okay, so I'm talking about Hollywood Africans by Jean-Michel Basquiat. I say Basquiat, but I don't know if it's Basquiat or if you pronounce the T.
I didn't take
French, so I don't know. But I'm going to go with Basquiat.
The worst podcast for us to do. So, we're going to butcher all of these names. Yeah, probably.
Okay, so Jean-Michel was born in Brooklyn in 1960. And his dad was from Port-au-Prince, and his mom was Puerto Rican, but she was also born in Brooklyn. And he was really poor when he was growing up. And the thing that got him painting was that he was hit by a car when he was 7, and his arm was broken, and he suffered a bunch of internal injuries, so his spleen had to be removed. Ooh. Which is traumatizing for any 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. But then, it's called a splenectomy, which I think is funny.
That sounds so gross. There's no other thing to call it like that.
I know. Splenectomy. And then while he was recuperating from his injuries, his mom bought him Grey's Anatomy. Not the TV show, but the book, like the actual book.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait, when was this painting made?
Grey's Anatomy is actually from like the 50s.
It's actually 100 years old.
So she bought him Grey's Anatomy.
We have to amputate every single episode.
Every single person in that show died.
Pull out the saw.
He's probably just going to die anyway.
Yeah. They didn't have any recovery.
Dirt on him.
Yeah. It was a much darker show back then. Okay, so she bought him the book. Because she sounds like a really cool mom. She was like, you had this traumatic injury. I want you to, like, know your body and, like, understand its healing process, which is, like, really cool. But the book has all these, like, freaky, if you've never seen it, has all these, like, freaky illustrations of, like, the inside of the human body. But it was made in, like, I don't even know when, a long time ago. So they're all
carved,
like,
into stone.
Yeah, it's carved. It's a slab of stone. They found it on the inside of a cave in France. So the drawings are really, really, like, stylized and not very, like, scientific looking. So
the best kind.
The best kind. Like, that's what I want to know.
When you're learning about your body, it's best to not.
You want it to be, like, funky and kind of cool. Yeah. You don't want to know what's actually going on in there. It's disgusting.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to step away from the mic right now while he's trying to tell this story.
So, and, like, the freaky illustrations of the inside of the human body just sort of, like, rewired his, like, little 7-year-old brain. And he was like, I am going to make art now just because of that.
I love painting.
Yeah,
now.
He loves to paint. So then he was, like, really poor, and then he was living in New York and, like, becoming an artist, and all of his art was really, like, about consumerism and about, like, the black experience in America and about, like, poverty and all this stuff. But then he became really popular because his art was very, like, street style and super, like, gritty, like, Lower East Side Manhattan. And he was involved in, like, the hip-hop and the punk and the street art movements.
All Mike's boyfriends. I'm sorry.
He was really brooding. And he was.
It's what you do to me.
Yeah. It's what... Basquiat. It's what you do to me. So then he started getting recognized by, like, the early 1980s, late 70s. So his stuff was getting put in, like, galleries and museums. And then he started dating Madonna before she, like, became
Madonna.
Like, she was still Madonna, but she was just, like, kind of like an art scene club girl.
I feel like that's the worst time to have Madonna is before she became popular and wealthy.
Then you're kind of just, like, standing around, you're like, I dated
like a girl.
Once.
But he knew. He was, like, he told
So it was you one could of say his... she was a prima donna.
She was a prima donna.
You're out. Josh is not allowed to be on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Josh.
Turn off Josh's mic, please.
We can cut that. No. She was a prima donna girl. And she was...
prima donna Madonna.
I'm out.
Because Madonna was, like, cool as hell when she was younger. She was, like, all, like, in the gritty New York art scene, clearly, because she dated Basquiat. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he dated Madonna... He became, like, involved in Andy Warhol's scene, and he was, like, really blowing up, and he started making, like, a buttload of money, which was crazy because he was super poor, and then he suddenly had all this, like, fame and notoriety, and he started making a bunch of money, and then he developed a heroin addiction, which is never good.
Which they all do.
Which they all do, especially if you're poor and then suddenly landfall, windfall. Yeah. Windfall of cash.
Landfall.
The land falls out from under you. Yeah, a landfill of cash. Mm. And so then, this is just like a sad end to the story, but he died of a heroin overdose in 1988 at the age of 27, so he's a member of the 27 Club.
Mm. Oh.
With like Kurt Cobain and Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and Amy...
Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse, yeah.
Right.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Gabby.
Thanks, Gabby. This is what she's there for.
Yeah. It was Amy something. Okay, so Amy to get someone's. To the actual point of this, the painting I picked is called, I already said it, but Hollywood Africans. And I love, like, all of his paintings. I really could have chosen any of them. But this was the first one that I saw, and I was like, what is that? Because I really love stuff that is just, like, super abstracted with, like, no dimensions. Mm-hmm. Like, I love, like, flat, weird angles and stuff like that. just my thing that I love.
I love things that are flat.
I love flat things. I love having no depth perception. That's part of my art experience.
I love it just all being in one place.
Yeah.
No depth. That's,
I have no like inner ear or whatever. Like I can't.
I'm so sorry.
So this is just like the little blurb about the painting that was on some website. I'm sorry. I'm not giving it credit. But... it's one of a series of his paintings that features images and text related to stereotypes of African Americans in the entertainment industry. I'll like pass it around after so you can see it. And it was painted while he was on an extended visit to Los Angeles in 1983. So it's like, there's like three faces on it. And one of them is the rap musician Rem LZ, who I don't know who that is, but I'm assuming he might have been a big deal in the 80s. And the painter Toxic, who... traveled around with Basquiat from New York to LA. And then there's like phrases, because it's kind of, it's not like a painting in the typical sense. It's like a lot of text on like just painted background.
His work is very like graffiti-esque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of like poetry and text and quotes and like paintings of faces and all this random stuff just kind of like smooshed together, but in like a very pleasing way. Obviously, it's ugly. It's actually terrible. So this phrase is like sugarcane, tobacco, gangsterism, and what is Buona? So it's just sort of like alluding to the limited roles available to black actors in old Hollywood movies.
Right.
So it's just like a commentary on like stereotypes in cinema for African Americans.
Cool.
And
if you guys ever look him up, look like if you see a picture of him, he actually like I feel like The Weeknd's hair, like the way he styled his dreads was very like.
He's like a way cooler The Weeknd. Yeah. He's like the OG. Right. He's like beautiful, like. Sideshow Bob.
Like, yeah, he did like really I'm crazy. Into that. Yeah, yeah. There is actually a film about his work, and not Andy Warhol, but someone who played Andy Warhol was in a lot of it because I think Andy Warhol had a pretty big role.
Yeah, he like kind of pushed him out into the mainstream.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
I know that Basquiat like really inspired Kanye.
Yeah.
In a lot of his work.
Basquiat and like Keith Haring, that sort of like downtown New York, like AIDS. Sort of scene.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Can I see the painting?
Yeah. Here, I'll pass it around. It's like mostly just yellow. I mean, I'm not gonna be able to do it justice, but
I've got it here on the old screen.
We will. Yeah, there you go. That's a good time to mention that all of the paintings that you're listing to today, we will be putting on all of our social medias. So we will be talking about our Twitter and Instagram handles later today. But it's also like we can't do these paintings justice. This is super cool though. It's a beautiful painting.
I like his work because it's so like you could tell that his like emotion was behind it, right? Like even if you're not into art, you could look at this and know like, oh, this guy was just painting like what he felt.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's like kind of train of thought too.
Yeah.
So and on first glance on the window. Oh yeah, here Gabby.
Slap it up on that window.
It's very small.
What do you think, Gabby?
You know, it's very yellow. It is very yellow. I like paintings with no depth as well. Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's literally so flat.
2D is the best D.
It is. I don't want any more D's.
Kelsey loves D, so
it's 4D.
I love 2Ds.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, gross. Don't even say it. Whatever you're about to say, yeah. Josh.
Josh is literally just like opening his mouth.
I was about to say, and with that, Kelsey should talk about her painting.
All right.
What do you got, Kelsey?
I'll switch things up. Mine is actually not a painting.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
Following the rules.
It's a movie.
My favorite painting is not a painting.
I just want to talk about my favorite movie.
I was under the impression that this was just like our favorite artworks.
No, it is.
Yeah, you had one job.
Yes.
You had one job.
All right, I fail. So mine is actually, it's a piece of architecture. It's called Casa Batlló. It's in Barcelona. Everybody look it up. It's also been nicknamed the House of Bones because it looks like bones.
Ooh,
check it out, everybody. Bones.
Can you spell that out for our listeners?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Casa is C-A-S-A and then B-A-T-T-L-O, Casa Batlló. It's by an architect named Antonio Gaudí. He designed it in 1904, and it's dope. Whoa. I actually realized after I picked this, I was like, I'm going to talk about this. I realized that it's been the background on my phone for like 2 months. So
your dedication.
The dedication is there, y'all.
That is a cool.
This
it's
is amazing.
Ass building.
It is sweet, and actually, it's pretty like reminiscent of how his style was. Like, if you look at any of his other buildings he designed, they're all pretty similar.
That's
like,
amazing.
He had like a thing against straight lines. Like, he
clearly
he just like
well,
all
we
of
can
his,
tell.
Yeah, all of his buildings like had a lot of movement to them.
So yeah, I think we should maybe just like.
This looks like something out of Spy
describe
Kids.
The visuals.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a cooler version of what I pictured that like. You know, in The Grinch, they have, like, the Village of Who people?
Yeah.
This is what I think their houses look
it's
like.
It's kind of like an apartment building on acid.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's true.
This is what everything looks like when you've done a ton of acid and tried to walk around outside. So not that I know
like, this. It's like if you took a picture or, like, a photo of a building and brought it into Photoshop and just, like, used the skew tool.
Yeah.
And it like, just, like, kind of brushed
and just, like, went crazy
everywhere. Yeah.
Just warp it up a little
how
bit.
How you guys went from drugs to Photoshop.
That's a pretty normal leap.
Different train of thought.
Creative students.
It's so pretty at night.
It is. Yeah. If you look up nighttime, it's pretty, it's lit. It's literally lit. It's lit.
So have you been, Kelsey?
I have never been, but I always say when I go to Europe, not if, when.
One day.
I would actually skip over Paris and I would go to Barcelona because Antonio Gaudí has so much stuff there. So for anybody who's not familiar with this, if you've ever been to Barcelona, or even if you haven't, you've likely seen pictures of it. He actually did a huge, huge piece in Parc Güell. It's called the Serpentine Bench. So it's like a huge part of this park. It's this bench that just like goes on for, I think, like almost a mile, and it looks like a giant dragon. So it just kind of, you know, further emphasizes the point that he did everything really wavy and colorful. So for anyone who has never seen Casa Batlló, it's basically the facade is, it's covered in like mosaic and glass pieces. So it's really, really colorful. The balconies actually look like little skulls, which is why it got nicknamed House of Bones, because the balconies kind of look like little skulls, and some of the columns almost look reminiscent of bones. But the cool thing is if you look at the top, like if you can get a view of the top, the tiles look like dragon scales. So everybody always kind of said like his work really did almost look like some kind of reptile.
It's so cool.
It is really cool.
Do you know what's in there? Sorry to interrupt.
It's still, like, I think you can, like, get tours in there nowadays. Like, it's open for business kind of thing. I think it's
so
been
cool.
I think I've seen somewhere that people, obviously really really wealthy people, can actually like rent it out and like hold fancy events there.
Oh my God, get married
what
in
was
there.
It back in the day, like what was it when he
it was a house like okay, so I have some background info on it here.
Could you imagine living in that house and being like, no,
like,
you won't miss my place.
I'm not going to give you the number.
If I was that chick in the States right now who just won $500 million, I would be heading over there paying the big bucks.
You wouldn't
and,
be in pre-com either.
No, I wouldn't.
Drop out.
Sorry,
living there for
not
a year.
Sorry. Yeah. So basically, Antonio Gaudí was a Spaniard?
Spaniard.
Architect. He basically is credited for creating this style, which he called Catalan Modernism, because he was from Catalonia. So it's called Casa Batlló because the building was actually bought by a man named Josep Batlló in 1900. He wanted to remodel it. He hired Gaudi, who was very pricey at the time. Yeah, they basically just like redid it into a bunch of apartments, and nowadays I think it's been kind of cleared out into one big space as opposed to a bunch of little rooms. It got nicknamed the House of Bones, so he actually didn't call it that. I don't know who's credited with that, but that's kind of what it's known as now. And yeah, I just really like it. I think it's
badass.
Always yeah, really liked really it, sweet. Yeah.
And I had no idea that it was even a thing, so.
Yeah, okay. And actually, like, the interior of it is very similar. Like, the staircases are all kind of curved and spirally. So all cool. The columns are really curved, so I feel like it would be, like a bit of a mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you go in, you just be like, what is happening? Am I on drugs? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a great story feeling of to always
my life. Yeah. Walk in somewhere here. And suddenly question your sobriety. Like,
That was a very good painting. Yeah. I'm very happy with that.
Yes, that is my
I'm glad you're on strategy.
That's my favorite painting.
Right on brand.
Great.
It's fine.
Great.
That just describes my Cree-com life, just totally off brand.
Off kilter.
If we were a piece of paper, someone would write, is this necessary? The question mark. It's fine.
It's fine.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another intermediary section of Asking People About Dance with Josh Gosin. Today, my guest is Rick. Rick, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Rick. I like to dance.
Rick, what kind of dancing do you like?
Mostly, like, funk trip-hop.
Okay, so Rick, a question that I've been asking people is, do you consider yourself a sassy club dancer?
I mean, which club are we talking here?
The OV club.
I don't know what that is.
I just made it up. I don't actually know either.
I'd say then yes. Yes, I do consider myself a sassy OV club dancer. Do they serve OV there?
I believe they serve OV. I mean, this is all like a fragmentation in my mind, so I'm sure you'd like to dance in my mind, Rick. Am I wrong?
Do I not already dance in your mind?
We dance together. Cerebrally.
So happy.
Yes.
You have no idea.
So
what are we wearing?
Well, let's not get into it. Welcome back to another segment of Talking to People About Dance with Josh Gosin. And here's my guest, Gina Court. And here's my guest, Gina. Gina, introduce yourself.
I'm Gina Contreras.
Okay, do you like to dance, Gina?
I did.
Until what?
I got injured and, what did I do? Oh, I tore my ligament in my ankle.
It was all fine until the accident.
Yeah.
What kind of dance do you dance, Gina?
I did ballet.
So, did you wear a tutu?
I did.
Do you still own one?
No, because I grew, like, several feet.
Several feet? So you're telling me that you were like 1 foot tall?
I don't dance anymore.
Not even like for fun?
No. Only like, when I'm drunk.
Okay, this just got to a whole new level. Alright, well, this has been the end of this segment of Talking to People About Dance with Josh Gosin.
All right. Do you want to go or do you want me
to
go?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got it.
He's like,
no, I'm ready. I'm ready. Cool.
Okay, so my painting is The Great Wave of Kawanagwa. Like, I'm sure all of you have seen it at one point in your life. It's like it's that painting of the massive, massive wave in Japan. And, like, in the very back, there's Mount Fuji. And
love that one.
Yeah, so it's, like, been my favorite painting, like, my whole life. And basically, it's a Hokusai painting, and it's number one of 36 of the 36 views of Mount Fuji, where basically he spent his entire life painting, painting like on these woodblock kind of color canvases, like different views of Mount Fuji. Like, he would go around the country and kind of like paint different perspectives until he had like basically a 360.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and why it's so cool, I guess, is like, I don't know if you guys are gonna love this because I mean, we're in Cree-com, but I love math. So
okay, get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like,
you said math, just to be clear.
Yeah, yeah.
I love math.
There was no E
Matha.
So basically, fractals are a thing where it's like you take half an image, you cut it in half, you take half an image, you cut it in half, and then it like makes this weird swirl.
I did a project on fractals in grade 8.
Right.
So I'm
but here's the crazy thing. When this painting was painted, like fractals didn't exist. But the Great Wave is a perfect fractal, which is so cool.
That is
cool. It's like literally how did you just figure out math by yourself that didn't exist? You know.
Is it this one?
I love the human brain.
Okay. Like, yeah. I know. It's really, really cool. So I'm big into that. But I'm also like I also just like kind of really like the commentary of like Hokusai just being like, I'm gonna spend my entire life, which is like 77 years or something around there, very close. Just like painting my country from different parts of the country. Because when you think of Mount Fuji in Japan, it's like it is like the sacred spot in Japan. So him focusing on that is insane.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really so cool.
Sorry, go ahead. We was really excited to share.
It's in a series of paintings of Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because in the painting itself, Mount Fuji is really
Fuji is like so, so small.
Yeah, which but is such like a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He used the wave to frame it. I remember that from art school. Yeah.
So,
like, that's so interesting to me.
And I think it actually is being shown, like, for the first time in, like, so long, this painting is being shown in the British Museum right now.
No way. Aren't you glad you're in CRECOM right now?
Yeah, I know. I'm so sad. I was in the British Museum, like, a year ago, and I'm like, oh, I went too early.
Because I went into CRECOM way too early.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's, like, it's a privately owned painting. So it, like, just sits in this, like, rich guy's house and like is not open to the public.
Like, how much money do you need to have to like be like, I just want to privately own this painting?
I'm pretty sure like it was sold, but it's pretty sure it was sold for $200 million.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous.
Yes. Are you guys familiar with like Jackson Pollock stuff? I think I've told the story before.
Yeah,
he like, I mean, he started a movement and everything, and yes, he deserves an amount of credit. But when you look at it today, like anybody who's not an avid art lover would look at it and be like, all right, so somebody threw paint on.
Yeah, it's I think that we talked about this before, but I heard that was like how his movement started, like out of anger.
Yep.
He just like, because he was trying to be like a portraiture painting or something.
He would actually put his canvases on the floor and like walk around them. And there's some paintings still today that you can see like chocolate bar wrappers stuck in the paint because he was just like careless. Like he was like, he's this like, was fine. My like venting.
Yeah.
And his paintings today sell for like over $200 million. Yeah. And it's essentially like a tarp with paint smatters.
That's intense.
So
that's wild.
Yeah. So I can, this one's probably.
I swear to God, if I get super wealthy and famous after I die, I'm going to be so pissed. Yeah. I'm going to be so mad.
I need that money when I'm living and breathing.
Da Vinci sold one painting when he was alive, and every single one of his other paintings sold after he died.
That's what I mean. So, could you?
All great artists are appreciated after their death.
It's true.
It's always true.
Haunting all of you from the grave. That's fine.
That'll be exciting.
Awesome. Be exciting.
Yeah.
Great painting, Josh. That's it. Hey. So proud. Okay. Mine, I obviously did Frida Kahlo. I could talk about Frida forever.
Girl.
I actually, for most of our like research for this, I was going to do The Wounded Deer. That's one of my favorite paintings. I'm going to get it tattooed on my arm.
Ooh, nice.
I got to finish this arm at some point. It's like half finished.
It's a work in progress.
I hate my half tattooed arm. But I actually ended up going in a different direction. So this one is called The Self-Portrait with Cropped Hair. And a little bit of backstory on Frida. She was born in July in 1907 in Mexico. So we're both cancer babies, not that they're maddest. She had 143 paintings over her lifetime. She only lived to be 47, so that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And 55 of them are self-portraits. And those are usually the ones that tend to do better when you think of Frida Kahlo. It's usually pictures of her face. Mm-hmm. And kind of like Kaylin's story, but Frida was actually hit by a bus when she was 15. So she underwent 35 operations after the bus accident. So she was actually bedridden for most of her life. One of the reasons I love Frida is because she's a badass. Like, I feel like you can't look on, like, badass women of history and Frida won't be on there. Like, she's just such, like, a feminist, awesome, I don't know. I love her. I've loved her for so long. But one of the favorite facts about her that made me, like, love her so much is that she only had one solo art gallery before she passed away. Mm-hmm. And she was actually in the hospital with some, like, scary disease. And she was like, I'm not going to miss my art show. So they had her driven in on an ambulance, and she sat in her art gallery in her bed. in a hospital bed, and was like, everyone like my art.
I wish that I could do that. Just like,
how cool is it?
Appreciate my craft.
Appreciate my face.
Yo, I'm going to crop this pillow up a little bit.
But it was like, it was like one of the, like, I think when people think of Frida Kahlo, like, that's one of the things is, like, there's all these pictures of her just, like, chilling in this, mm-hmm. like, hospital bed. And she's like, look at my stuff. Mm-hmm. So the painting that I picked, I kind of, like, I went back and forth because it's not necessarily my favorite Frida painting, but I think it just, like, really shows her personality through it. So she had, like, a really on-again, off-again relationship with her husband, who was
Diego Rivera.
Diego, yeah. And, like, in interviews, they said, like, she was, like, he was by far the worst. So he had, like, multiple affairs during their relationship. And she was, like, really desperate. Because I guess, like, divorce wasn't necessarily, like, a thing back then. But she was, like, really desperate to make it work. So she was, like, okay, we each are allowed to, like, have sex with other people while we're married. So, badass. Like, Frida Kahlo had, like, lots of lovers, men and women, they claim, during her lifetime. But they finally got divorced during a time that divorce was not necessarily a thing, because her husband slept with her younger sister, Christina.
Oh, yikes.
And she was like, nope, I'm out.
Crosses the line.
Yeah. So Frida was like, yeah, that would be it. That would be the part that does too much for me. So they got divorced, and it's like, I the one thing that I wish she didn't do is apparently they got married again later and then divorced Frida. Again. So it's just like, Frida, honey, if he does it once, he's going to do it again, you know? So after they got divorced, I believe it's the second time, I actually can't confirm that, Wikipedia, I know it's shocking, is like not super reliable for that stuff.
That's
like,
bizarre.
What?
But one of the first paintings that she painted, that she did after they got divorced, is a self-portrait, and she's sitting in a chair in his suit, and she cuts off all of her hair, like all of her long, beautiful black hair. And in the painting, it's like all over the floor and like thrown about, and she's just like, it's, I just think it's the biggest like fuck you and like pardon me, sorry, no, we're gonna beep that out, but I just think it's the biggest like in your face, like she's holding the scissors, like she's so chill about it, she's like, because I guess her ex-husband like loved her long beautiful black hair, and she was like, well, I guess you don't love me anymore, and like took it all off. And that's actually what it says. There's a little bit of writing at the top, and it says in Spanish, but it's, look, if I loved you, it was because of your hair. Now that you are without your hair, I don't love you anymore. And it's just, like, so badass. And it's just, like, a beautiful painting. I love anything Frida Kahlo. I'm all for it. She died when she was 47, only had one exhibit while she was alive. But in 2006, one of her paintings sold for $5.6 million of her face.
Whenever I think of Frida, because, like, I have learned quite a bit about her, I just, like, feel sad. Because the girl had so much shit in her life. Like, she had that crazy accident. She spent basically her whole life either bedridden or with some kind of physical ailment. And, like, there's lots of biographies on her. There's actually a movie with Salma Hayek in it all about Frida. And it just, like, shows all the crazy stuff she went through. And, like, when I think of her, I just, like, feel depressed. Because I'm like, what a life to have. And then to die so young and to have, like, this partner in life who just, like, obviously is terrible.
But who also, like, Diego was kind of the one who got more popularity when they were because
he was
both
also an artist.
Yeah, he was also an artist. So he was sort of, like, she was always, like, second fiddle to him in the public eye, even though, like, I think she's a way better artist.
Which is so funny because nowadays, like who...
No one knows Diego.
No one knows who Diego
is
anymore.
In the end, she kind of came out on top. They actually, like, were credited with, like, raising each other's careers. Like, he was kind of credited for, like, getting her started, because at the time he knew a lot more people than she did. He had a lot of connections.
Yeah.
There was a point when, like, he was the bigger artist.
Yeah.
And
she, like, climbed up that mountain.
She got the last laugh, so.
Yeah, she did. And I think, I don't know, I just, like, love this painting, and every time I look at it, I'm like, yes, woman power!
It is really badass.
Because, like, I don't know, like, divorce was not a thing, so for her to be like, you know what, no, I'm over it, like... You had sex with my sister. I'm over it.
But also not cool. No. Frida Kahlo's
Diego,
sister.
Oh, also, sister code?
Like, was the sister invited to the second wedding? Oh, I hope not.
I just can't even imagine that.
She was like her
maid of honor.
Maid of honor. She's like looking at Diego though. She's like, you know what's gonna happen.
You know what's gonna happen.
Like
again.
The idea of my sister and my non-existent lover is just like,
that's upsetting. That
I
is
that's like a song title.
Yeah. My non-existent lover.
That would be the song sister. Title like to my life, song, Gabby. Yeah.
Kelsey's dropping an EP in 2019. Yeah.
Her EP.
My non-existent lover and my sister.
It's an EP so, about love life.
But it's also cool because it's almost like in the painting she like. Is becoming Diego because she's wearing his suit, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like sitting in a chair in a very like masculine pose.
It's such like a declaration of independence.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like
I also like how well her like how well combed her hair is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's like
she got that like slick
it's
back.
Like, yeah.
I can attest to the feeling of liberty that you get from cutting all your hair off.
I colored mine.
It's a wonderful feeling to just chop it off and be
some
like
some guy broke up with me and
I would
like,
do that, but my head is
it's
weird.
Purple. Purple now.
Okay, so
how I feel on the inside.
I'm wondering, there's like a bar of music.
Yeah, what's that about?
Does that like go with the lyrics?
So yeah, apparently it was from a song. So the lyrics are from a Mexican song that she put in there. And so I think that was her way of crediting
like those weren't Diego's words, but they reflected what he
but
told
again,
her.
I'm going off of Wikipedia. I could be totally wrong. But from what the internets have told me, it was from a Mexican song. And she just was like,
she's like this
is
reflects
how I'm
my
feeling.
Experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think her like, I think that was like back then how you credited other artists was just like, look, it's a song.
Like, check it.
They painted some notes underneath.
I almost spit my coffee.
Guys, I'm so funny, you know? It's fine.
So
but yeah,
funny.
That's some Frida Kahlo painting.
That's amazing.
Hey, quiet Gabby.
Yay.
You ready to roll?
I'm ready to rumble.
Ready all to right. do it.
So like I went super way back with my I'm really into like Da Vinci or Van Gogh, Michelangelo,
I'm so
Claude Monet.
Would it be
Picasso,
an art podcast
Raphael?
If we didn't talk about Van Gogh?
Claude Monet is
Vermeer,
actually my favorite.
Vermeer. I had to go with Rembrandt.
Yes.
Cool.
Rembrandt
which
is
one?
My favorite.
Which one?
The Storm on the Sea of Galilee is my is my favorite.
I'm looking it up.
It's like I didn't super prepare for this. So
did any of us? I like went
but,
to Wikipedia.
So Rembrandt was born July 15th, 1606. So, like, we're going, like, way back.
We're going
like,
way
like,
back.
He's old. He's very old.
Just in
he's
case anyone old. Was wondering, he is no longer alive.
No.
Can you confirm that, though?
Can you really confirm it?
He's with Walt Disney somewhere in a, in a freezer.
Oh, God.
And, Rembrandt, he died at the age of 63. I'm just going to get to his death before I even talk to him, right? Or talk about him. I mean, just talk to him.
We're going to commune with his spirit.
So this painting, it was painted in 1633. And there's an interesting backstory on it, actually. The gallery, it was in the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. And it actually got stolen March 18th, 1990.
Oh, I remember that.
They haven't found the painting yet.
Yep. The museum was from Boston,
so this
right?
is why I think it's hilarious. Yeah. This stolen painting of Jesus. Like,
of
there's
Jesus.
Like, hey,
yeah, there's
that
some
like, the ultimate sin.
Yeah.
You are promising you won't get into heaven that way.
So funny.
You know what I think, too, is, like, there's a lot of famous paintings that have been stolen throughout history, and I just want to, like, I can just mentally picture the kind of dude that steals
some
it. Because
creepy old guy.
It's probably some dude, and it's sitting in the corner of his basement, and he just sits in a chair all day, like, rocking back and forth and looking at
it.
Yeah,
I did it.
Like, I'm not going to do anything with it, but I have it.
Like, what, you can't show anyone that you have it?
I was listening to this podcast. Was like in the summer when I was working in BC, and it was about how robbing a art gallery is incredibly easy. Like museums have awful security, and it's super super simple to steal stuff from a museum.
Right. Don't give anyone any ideas, by the way. We're not suggesting.
We're in CRECOM. This is our fallback.
If you have the robbery bug and you're looking for a big heist to pull, just go to any museum. Apparently,
well, that actually really helps my imagination because yesterday I went to Black Panther. And
how was
at
it?
The so good.
I need to see it.
And at the beginning of it, like unlike any other superhero movie, is actually great. But like at the beginning of it, there's like this art gallery robbery, and where I guess it's this museum robbery. And I was just thinking to myself the whole time, I was like, "Where's the security?" But Kaylin answered the question for me.
I mean, not technically because I don't.
Like the Winnipeg Art Gallery has like two people working, two staff.
I don't remember all the details of like why it's
staff
so easy.
Staff meeting could be in a broom closet.
But
that's fine.
Literally, just bring up some brownuts. Be like, "Hey, can I have it?" He's like, "Yes. Here's your painting."
Sure.
Here is your painting.
You were so polite. I'm just going to give it to you.
Such a Canadian robbery. You were nice. That's fine.
Okay, sorry, Gabby. Continue.
Yes,
no, no, that's okay. Tangents are amazing. But anyway, yeah, it was stolen along with 12 other paintings. I didn't look up what paintings they were, but it's considered the biggest art theft in U.S. history that remains unsolved.
I just picture this dude, like, just bending over backward, like, holding all of these portraits, like, oh, God.
Like, how do you run off with them?
Get into the car.
Yeah. I like to imagine it's like 90s style, like heist movie where they're like lowering down.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like the lasers, but I don't think that's
And it was actually Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Tom Cruise did this.
Okay, guys, it's my quest. We're going to find this painting.
Yeah.
How much would that reward be?
It's 10 million.
Oh, my God.
Why am I here right now?
Splitsies. All right, guys, I got a plan for episode two.
We can all go to Spain. Guys, we could all go to Spain if we find this painting.
It's true.
We can buy Casaballo.
Probably a room or a window, maybe, of it.
So the museum had offered a $5 million reward for all 13 pieces in good condition. And in, I believe it was, it was June of last year. So June 20th, 2017, they had doubled the reward to $10
million. I was going to say, $5 million? I think we can figure out why they haven't been recovered yet.
Yeah, like,
whoever has these, if one person has them all, has arguably like well over probably $200 million
just chilling
of their
in
art.
The attic. Why are they
and they're like, you're going to give me $5 million for turning these in? Like, so I can get way more than that on the black market.
So here's my question. All right, so let's say it's like your great-grandfather like stole that painting, right? And it's just been chilling.
Oh, you mean Alvin Sigurdsson? He's for sure the mastermind.
And it's been chilling in your basement for like two generations. Mm-hmm. Is it like a family pact? Like you're like, yo, we don't talk about the painting.
Like, I mean, like, are you suggesting that you have the painting?
No, I'm just saying it's like it's worth 20 million.
This is theoretical.
But,
we're waiting in his basement.
Little Nana has the painting.
But like I'd probably be that rotten grandkid that was like, I could get 12 million.
$12 million? Yeah, like, I had that in right away.
There was over $5 million worth of art stolen. There was a Rembrandt, a Vermeer, a Degas, and a Manet.
Well, that's the other thing you have to think about, too, is it's not just one painting.
No, it's 13. For sure, like, it's 13.
But, like, what's the master plan here? Like, okay, son, here's you know, what all these things are in our basement. It's time I told you what they are.
A rite of passage.
And we're going to keep passing it down to our children until all the people looking for it are long dead.
Yeah.
And then we're going to strike.
But, like, I mean, there has to be, like, a black market for this where just, like, there's, like, these rich people who are like, I really want that painting.
Yeah.
Steal it for me.
Yeah. Find it.
Well,
find that painting.
On our good friend Wikipedia, it says that as of 2013, the FBI announced they knew who was responsible for the crime.
They were just like, get on it, FBI. We don't want to bother him.
They're like, yo, that's out of our jurisdiction. Like, we don't know.
He's a really busy man.
Yeah.
They're like, have you seen this guy? You go knock on this guy's door. Like,
it was committed by an organized crime group of some kind.
Okay, also, so when I looked up this painting, I'm on this weird website, and there's one comment, and it's like, someone coveted this painting. A sin in like all caps.
See, that's what I was alluding to.
And this is how you go to hell.
Okay? For anybody who hasn't seen it, do we want to like talk a little bit about what's going on it? Like, just in case anybody wants to know, it's just a giant picture of a smiley face, and that's all.
It's a beautiful painting.
It is. It's cray cray.
It is a boat with people on it. It looks like a storm.
It's a very small boat.
I think it's like in the Bible when like Jesus is chilling, sleeping, and then a storm's happening, and they're like, yo.
Jesus.
And then he like, and then he like gets mad at them for being mad about
waking him up.
He's like, I was sleeping.
He's like, I was sleeping.
I was getting the Lord's rest. Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna say that next time I have a nap.
I'm getting the Lord's rest.
Somebody wakes me up
on
Sunday.
The Lord's rest. Just on Sunday, I'm getting the Lord's rest.
Like, next time I'm hungover and my mom tries to like wake me up on
the couch.
That's
what we're calling the podcast.
The Lord's rest.
The Lord's rest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so they woke him up, and he was just like, everybody shut up. I'm going to calm this storm.
Yeah, and then he just like calmed the storm.
Let me do my Jesus thing.
So I'm the
tourist.
Everybody step right back. Quick. Let me stretch a little bit.
He just wanted to go back to bed.
I can throw in a little fun fact about this painting just from my art history nerd experience. If you zoom in to Jesus, there's no like obvious halo, but you can see that like behind him is like a little bit illuminated.
Glowing.
And it's actually really, really, really hard to find any old kind of Renaissance painting where he doesn't have some kind of light around his head.
Mm. Is it lame to say that I don't? Oh, there's Jesus. Yeah. I found him.
See, but that's
like, where's Waldo, but where's Jesus?
Which one is the guy with the beard? So all of them?
That's the thing, is he's not like super standout in this painting. Like in a lot of paintings.
Because he's sleeping. His halo's still dim, right?
He just flicked it off.
He's trying to recharge the lone spark.
Yeah, it's actually, it's interesting because the light is shining on the other people. Like, you would think Jesus would be in this
but
bright
it's,
spot.
There's like a little bit, he's like you can kind of see. It's like a very subtle like backlight.
Just a little glow.
But in a lot of artworks where Jesus is present, he's usually like right front and center. There's usually like the same amount of people on either side of him, or he has like a very distinct halo. Mm-hmm. So this
his
was actually
wife's
like
on his side. Yeah. You know?
This was like really subtle. Like the fact that you have to like, Allie had to look which one is Jesus actually says something, because that wasn't common
for
this time.
Reflection
on me as a person than anything else.
Please, just I just want to go back to the robbery of this painting. just 1 second.
I'm seriously thinking that Josh has it.
Just picture this.
Nanny Gosin.
You're running out with this painting. And you just take a quick gander at it. You're like, let's just look at what I'm stealing.
Yeah.
And Christ's face moves and looks at you, and he's like, don't do it. Do not do this.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the person who stole this probably doesn't have a connection with Jesus.
Or maybe he
has
a
huge
really
connection.
Deep
connection.
Maybe Jesus looked at him and was like, thank you for getting me out of that stuff.
Okay,
like,
also,
no, it was stuffy.
It was boring in there.
It's boring as shit. The Lord has work to do.
Put me up in your attic.
I'm through all nations.
Nobody also can even find me in this painting.
Yeah, okay, also, while we're talking about it being stolen again, the website that I'm on saying it's 63 by 50 inches, which is over a meter long. Like, that's a huge painting.
Roll it.
That was the thing, though, was like a lot of artworks aren't always framed. Like, I don't know.
Like,
maybe.
So
you
can
really roll
with the frame
roll it
on
up
it, that is big enough to, like that's a Jack and Rose are able to on the painting and not die from the Titanic.
Kelsey, are you saying that that might have been rolled up?
Yes.
So, like, as once again, let's go back to the Jesus face. Okay. Once you're rolling it, you're rolling over, so he's like, no, and then he's gone forever.
You're like, shush,
or,
Jesus, shush.
Or the worst part, folding it up like a tiny napkin and putting it in your pocket.
Folding
that's
the canvas
sure
into a swan.
That is for sure how it got stolen. I'm putting
it
on money.
Folded.
The museum was right open, and someone folded it up.
Put it in his pocket.
Put it in their pocket and walked out.
And like, as he's walking
all
out, he's like, as he's walking out, he's like, okay, I gotta just like play this off. So he like reaches for it, the backside of this white, and he's like, sneezes into it. He's like, all right,
I don't know, you guys. I think Gabby cracked this code. She said he probably folded it into a swan and
you're right,
like, under the arms.
Yeah, take out dinner, like walk.
Yeah,
out.
No big dinner. No big deal, guys. I'm just walking
dinner,
my swan.
Okay, so actually, the frames, are still left hanging in the gallery where the paintings were.
They folded it.
Like, you could go to the gallery today and see the empty frames. I guess they're really hopeful that they'll come back. There's also another fun fact about the painting. I mean, before I got cut off. There's one guy that's actually like looking at you in the painting, and some people say that that's Rembrandt.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, I've heard this before.
Yeah,
because
it looks like him.
He's holding his little cap.
He's holding his cap and he's holding the rope, and he's in really
he's like
teal. Like, he's staring at you. Yeah,
he's like looking at my face.
He has other works too where he was suspected of like kind of sneakily
putting himself
in there. But he never made it obvious.
I'm not 100% sure.
Except for in his self-portrait.
I was watching a show there too where someone was painting, it was a painting of someone painting a guy. And, like, you could see him in the mirror or something. I don't know if that was Rembrandt or not.
I think it was Rembrandt.
I love him for just, he's like, okay, I'm going to paint you first, but I gotta slide my face
in
here somewhere, you know.
I used to chill with Jesus. Yeah.
But I don't know. I really like the painting.
Since year zero.
It's really nice. And if you look up other paintings of, because there's no photos of him, obviously, it does look like Rembrandt. Mm-hmm.
I love the style too.
The light is crazy.
Yeah,
I'm super into Greek mythology, and Poseidon's like my bro. So anything my bro. So anything to do with the sea and the I'm looking for a fancy word, but like just the, like the turmoil that the sea brings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was fancy.
That's not the fancy word that I wanted to use, but I'm like, you know,
it impressed us.
We're shook. We're
shook it. Like, insert mouth pop here. I can't do it, but
literally,
we can add one after post production.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like one side of the painting is like really light, and then the side that Jesus is on is like really dark. So I don't know. I don't know. I could analyze it all day and be like, you know, I wonder what happened. But I don't know. I just it really speaks to me, and the fact that I'll never be able to see it until like Nanny Goosen releases it from her attic.
Nana Goosen.
I that's one painting that I really want to see that I hope the FBI is like, is this guy home yet? 4 years later.
Just standing knocking, they're like,
I just send notices like, excuse me, if that was Canada, they'd be like, excuse me, sir, may I please have those paintings back? Yeah. Like, oh, no, sorry.
And they're like oh, been, sorry, sure.
Sorry there. They've been in my family for a while. Well, like, you could come back and like view them in my attic. Yeah. It has a little gallery of 13 paintings. God, could you imagine? But anyway,
makes me wonder, like, what the like if there was a security guard, like, what were you doing?
Oh, he usually, for sure got fired.
Usually somebody could go in and deframe the paint. You know what? I bet you they did. They went in, they took the frames off. Instead of the swan, they folded them into paper airplanes and just like,
threw them out the window.
The thing that sucks, He's like, I'll catch you later. Really, the thing that sucks is being that security guard, like. You know they're questioning you until you die.
That's a big whoopsie.
Like,
on your part,
you know, like
he also got
like,
fired for sure. Like we can safely say he's never worked.
But also probably interrogated every single day.
Poor dude.
Poor guy. Probably in on it.
Probably
though.
Had a
honestly,
miserable for life. Sure.
Like, yeah, unless he's
not,
in on it, then he deserved it all.
They didn't know, like probably like speculation, but probably didn't know what was going on, but. I'm going to give you some money, maybe be in this side of the gallery at
maybe
this
time.
Maybe
take a bathroom break.
Like, you know.
You're going to take a 40-minute bathroom break.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Take a nap with the Lord.
Take a nap with the Lord.
Oh, God. Okay, we're getting totally off track.
Yeah. So but yeah, are we going to talk about who's...
Yeah, I was going to say, should we do a vote now on who's best? One.
Well, I like that we all picked extremely different.
Yeah, that was cool. We did a good
job. We did no prep for
there
that.
There were four paintings and a building. And
almost all of us got the memo.
Kelsey didn't get the Facebook message.
If all of them from different time periods, too. Yeah. Like, not a single...
Okay, so should we do... You can only vote once and you can't vote for your own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what are we voting based on?
I think the most interesting story right? Or... I feel like all of them had a story behind it, so let's do that. Because all of us have favorite paintings, so I don't think that would be the same. Okay, so who went first? Kaylin went first. Is anyone voting for Kaylin's?
Somebody, I enjoyed Kaylin's. I'm trying to remember what everything is.
I know. We've been talking. Yeah. Okay, what about Kelsey's? We're putting up hands and no one can see it, so we're just going to do this really fast. Anyone voting for Kelsey's? Okay.
Hey.
And so Allie voted for Kelsey.
I liked Josh's.
I liked all of them, but I don't know. Like I
think I'm gonna have to go with Gabby just because I love a heist.
I'm going with Gabby for heist.
Yeah, I think Gabby wins today.
I think a heist wins.
Gabby, my girl wins with the painting.
It's not my favorite painting, but it was my favorite story.
Right. Yeah. So full disclaimer: if I am not back for episode two, it's because these guys kicked me off.
It's because she can't follow direction, and we're really
next
tight
will
on
be
schedule.
Music. So this movie that I like.
It's fine. To be fair, we don't know what episode two will be yet, we can't kick her out until we know what it is.
All right,
playing it by ear, you know.
We can't kick her out until we know what it is. Just make her really hopeful for the next episode. Be like, yeah, like do all this, like the day before. Be like, oh no, I'm sorry. We've talked to Dan. I'm sorry.
We had a group talk, and this is not going to work out at Gateway here for you.
I think losing Gateway
is close.
Our first firing.
Okay. She's the only one with like actual art knowledge. So.
Yeah, we actually
has a fine arts degree. We're
honestly,
like,
we really, really need
she has a fine arts degree, but we have the Wikipedia. Yeah.
So really, we're all winners here. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. True. We should also leave all of our Twitter, so you guys can go look at our photos. Mine is just at Allie Sigurdson, SigurdSon on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll probably be posting it on both places for my Gateway photo.
Okay.
My Twitter is just Kaylin_Bell, so Kaelin_Bell.
All right, my Twitter is Kelsey Schaefs, KelseySchaefs.
And my everything is I'm Josh Tom, I am Josh, And then Tom, T H O M.
And I am at Gabby Bruce on Twitter, G A B B Y B R U C E.
Woo! Amazing. All right, guys, this was fun.
It was fun.
It was great. I agree.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
See you in the next one.
Okay, go take the Lord's nap.
Go take the Lord's nap.